Welcome to Champions Podcast.
Hello, I'm Ellis.
Hello, I'm Carly.
Hello, I'm Connor.
And I'm Jamie.
And welcome to episode 4.
Thanks for having me.
No worries.
Appreciate you giving me the space and time to come over here to Preston from Manchester.
It's not too far.
No, it's not. Last time I came was actually for Hope Pack, where I saw you, the amazing event that went on. And you were getting on the mic, speaking with your heart. I loved it. And now you've got, so tell me about the podcast. What's happened? How have you got this?
So after the events of the Hall Pack, we were funded by, I believe, the council, a little bit of money to set up our idea from the Hall Pack, which was a podcast interviewing people on their opinions on the youth.
Cool.
And that's why you're here.
And now I'm here.
Now you're here. Mm. So if you don't mind telling everybody, what do you do? What is your profession?
So it's a bit loose, that term of profession. I'm an artist, first and foremost, and I'm also, I do talks around trauma and how that interacts with us as beings and how that I guess tuning into my youth and how that affected how I am today and just trying to spread the word of getting people to be more human with one another and less robotic like the world tells you. So that's like a, as young people, you see how teachers and adults go about and you think, oh, what are they doing? Like, why are they just like changed from like how we learn to be and how like our intuition tells us to be? So I just do work around getting people just to unlock that part, because I want to come here and learn about you, because you're the kids. Well, kids, you know what I mean? But that's the inner child that I actually would like to go towards, because it's important. Because I feel like I've recently, in the last few years, I've done a lot of unlearning about stuff that I got told that isn't true. And it's just made me miserable. And I've been in jobs that I've felt anxious. And I'm just like, you know what, scrap this. I'm just going to be a kid again. And I'm going to do it. But with the knowledge that I have now as an adult, which inevitably you learn, learning how to just get stuff done and be a bit more organized than I was, I guess, when I was younger. So yeah, that's what I do. Music. I make music under the name To Be Frank, and that pays homage to my granddad, Frank, because I'm Jamie. But I like to put his name in it because he was someone that was also very childlike and someone that would make you feel safe and comfortable in a room when the spaces I was in before that, I felt like, oh, there's something wrong with me. Why do I want to, I just want to say things. And that was a lot of me just basically wanting to have bursts of like, I don't know, impulses of saying stuff. And I just felt like there was certain people in my life that kept like putting it down, but really it was a beautiful thing. And I later learned that through my music. That was the whole reason why I started writing, was ideas would just come out of me and I just started jotting them down. And then next idea into next idea and next idea, and it would just snowball. Next thing you know, you got a beautiful song and people are like connecting with it and change has been made. So that's the beauty of art and just embracing everyone's sort of individual differences and not stopping them happening, you know? Because I feel like we're all different. There's something that we all do differently to one another, but at the same time, we are similar in the fact that we can recognize like beauty in art or beauty in songs. We can connect to certain things that like we feel, we all feel that way. So how do we tap into it? And I'm still in that sort of trying to find out why, you know.
I think we all are, and we all will be, because at the end of the day, life is temporary. Eventually we're all gonna go, so it's about making our impact and how we do that
exactly
in a positive way. So would you say that your granddad is a big inspiration for your music?
Yeah, he wasn't very musical. He was a carpenter. So he was definitely an inspiration in terms of like just how he was as a person. And like, I think one thing, seeing how love interacts with him and my grandma and seeing how their relationship was something that was different to my home life. And I saw them as like, whoa, people can actually like get on that well after so many years and be that good to each other and like laugh and just have each other's back in a way that felt like organic and natural. It was just nice to be around. It was a good energy to be around. So when he passed away, and I, you know, I'm close with my grandma, when I saw, you know, what had been taken away from her and all of us, you know, it was just important that I paid homage to him, because he was just instrumental in who I am today. And that's just like through my music, to be frank, my mate Callum, actually, I was going to just take his name, Frank Maron, but my mate Callum was actually like, no, I put 2B before it. And then that's when it came out, it's to be frank. And yeah, what about you? Is there someone in your life that you like pay homage to in the way you are, or like take, because I guess like you form your identity based around people that you see. Mm. So is there someone that you feel like, oh, okay, that person's like a role model that I kind of like to take inspiration from?
Not really. I'd rather be my own person. Obviously, I take some aspects from certain people in the way they act around people and with people.
Mm.
But I would rather get my personality across to people. And if they don't like it, they don't like it. That's their issue, that's my issue. I'd rather be around people that like to be around me and present my ideas and my beliefs to them. And if they don't like it, they don't like it. It is what it is.
Yeah, that's a cool mindset.
Mm.
What about you?
Bit off my granddad, because he passed away and he was a DJ, so that's how my music's come through as well, and my dad, from his dad as well, so
yeah,
that's how I've got into it. And that, look,
I see,
that's why.
What sort of music did your granddad play?
Any Elvis and that, look, and rap.
Okay,
so basically that's how I got through to music. That's how, what comes, you know, and that, look,
yeah,
so
like an escape.
Yeah
It's good. I have to have music on a lot of the time, just to like when I wake up, if it's too silent, sometimes it's good to sit in silence, but just music just brings just a harmonious just feeling, innit? It's just important to have it. What about you?
I would say my brother, because he used to be in a band and he used to help me out with stuff.
Yeah. That's nice. What sort of band was your brother in?
He was a drummer.
Okay. Drummers, man. All the drummers I know are crazy.
It's a hard thing to do, drumming. You look at a drummer and think, oh yeah, there's only what? There's four things and then two cymbals. It can't be that hard. And then you start and you realise it's...
That's
probably five or six. Probably.
Yeah. Like, and it starts from just like... It must be starting like tapping at school.
Mm. Yeah, nah. Drumming has to be difficult.
Because
I've tried it, and simple patterns. Anything simple, it's easy to learn, but once you get more complex, and I guess that's life in general. The more complexity, it's different. It'd be nice to do all the simple things, but what's the fun in that?
But then you have to have the rhythm, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You got to have the rhythm of life. If you're trying to do too much craziness, like, then you just...
It ain't going to work.
It's, yeah. You're spreading yourself too thin.
Yeah.
So know your...
Limits.
Yeah.
Know your limits.
Know your limits. But also, like, work towards it. I feel like gradually, you can't just come in straight away and do a mad solo. You've got to learn how to play the hat and just come in with a tom, and then, do you know what I mean? Just play it gradually. And then you start piecing together and you're like, whoa, I've got a whole like sound here, rather than just tapping on the table at school. So it's just building things gradually. I feel like that's such an important thing. It's like, you don't even realize it right now. We're taking in information and consuming stuff, right? But it's going to be part of our journeys on a bigger scale. And that's like, knowing that is like, wherever you are, whenever you're tuning into music or you're listening, you're creating right then, because you're allowing yourself to take in the music. As long as you're feeling it and you're like, whoa, I feel this, you're already in that creative process. And like, I feel like if you can create stuff in whatever way, it's just so much, because you take in so much that when you finally actually allow yourself to get it out, you just become so much lighter and you just be able to just take in way more as well, because you've made room, you know? So it's just the cycle of it, I guess. That's why I've just been hooked on creating since you had to do it.
If it wasn't music, what would you do?
Football.
Football.
Yeah. Football. I remember my mum saying, like, I just loved playing football when I was younger. And I was obsessed with it. I used to, like, go on the computer at school and just refresh manunited.com. I don't know why. I was like, there's going to be some news, some transfer news or something. And they're just like, we'll just read and read about Man United. And like, obviously you can tell my voice is not from Manchester. But when like I had the opportunity to go, because my family's from Manchester, as soon as I had the opportunity to go up to Manchester, I was like, that's it. I'm going to Manchester and I'm staying. And then, yeah, just being around football. It's like a lot of football everywhere, but I feel like Manchester is really football, obviously, with City and United like the other day, which is a good result.
So if, say, would you be playing football or would you just do something to do with the club?
Obviously, when I was really young, I wanted to play. And then I realised, well, my mum was like, you're not going to be a footballer. What do you mean? It's like, that was a tough pill to swallow. But then also, looking back at it, I could have done, if I worked hard, you can do anything if you work hard at it. But I kind of just got into the headspace. I was like, there's no point. And that's a shame because I feel like if you love something, you should just do it. Just do it until you don't want to do it anymore. And then you can change to something. Just keep finding new things to love and do. But yeah, football. And then after that, I was like, okay, I'll work in at school. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I didn't know what I was doing. In year nine, I was off the rails. I was just kind of like falling, like just sitting there, just like, what's going on here? I don't know what's being taught. And like, I just felt disconnected from it because it became felt more and more, and the pressure felt more and more to know what we're going to do after you finish school. And then that led me to actually like year 10, I started like smoking weed, started missing classes, started finding more enjoyment with just mucking about and messing around. And then I guess in year 11, I was like, I got through my GCSEs. I was okay. Cause I like, even though I was sort of going off the rails or whatever, I was blessed that I was educated in a way that could allow me to be actually get through GCSEs, even amongst me not trying my best or working hard at it, which was a massive blessing because a lot of people don't, you know? And then it's like, well, you don't need to get your GCSEs, well, you can't work for that. So that was a massive privilege that I had from young because of how my mum was with me, how my brothers were with me. And that allowed me to actually just learn in ways outside of school. But yeah, I feel like, so then I sort of fell off and then I went to a couple colleges, didn't do well there. I got kicked out of one. I was just kind of in a bit of a downward spiral, I guess. And then I had to the biggest changes that made me start change my behavior and start to do well was actually just connecting with someone on a level. I had a girlfriend at the time and that just opened up me in a way that I didn't know. And that was the biggest guidance that I needed because a lot of what was going on at home, I couldn't really explain. And she was actually there to sort of be there with me.
Like a catalyst, she brought it out of you.
Yeah, she's just catalyst. And she also didn't tolerate anything because she was fiery. She was a fiery character. And we were both, I remember we used to just shout at each other, have mad arguments, but it was like our way of love. Yeah. And we both knew it and it wasn't no judgment involved.
No.
So that felt different because having that from my dad, who was more sort of, this is who you are, projecting that sort of anger onto me. I didn't feel like I could ever open up to him, you know? I didn't feel like I could really open up to anyone in my family at that point. So having her meant, when I was 18, I overdosed. And she was there at the hospital with me the next day. And she basically was there. And we'd broken up at this point, but she still came, decided to come. And she was just like, I love you. And those three words, even after that, was and just enough for me to be like, okay, I'm actually going to start getting this right. I'm going to try and do better. And there was some dips on the road of going back and relapsing into drugs and going up. But then I actually got to a college that I was like, whereas I felt supported, had a teacher who was like called Linda. She was just a person that was so positive, and like, she even though I didn't do the work, she would just be like, it's okay. Just like, as long as you're here and that's enough. And just like the constant positivity and understanding. She also gave a bit of herself as well, like talked about her sort of experience as a human being and the difficulties she felt, and she was honest, and I felt that. So straight away, I was like, I'm going to Linda's classes and I'm doing it for Linda as well. So there's two people already that are like starting to build that up in you, and then you start to feel like, okay. And then I got to Salford Uni after doing business. I did business and acting at college. Somehow Linda passed me. I don't know how. I was surprised. And then I got to Salford and then did business management. And along that journey, I was writing music and writing poems and stuff, but not really sharing it. The only time I had really shared poetry was at my granddad's funeral. But I was kind of like writing in the background. But then I got to uni and I was in like the halls I was in was with like four musicians. So like the universe basically just put me with some musicians, and I was like, whoa, this is crazy. I'm around music and people that are into that same stuff. And yeah, from then, I guess I was able to express in that way as well a bit more. And it's just kind of been a constant journey being around new people that have allowed me to access that part, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, what was the question before that? I went on a tangent.
No idea.
Do you feel like have you been in any relationships that have like been close quarters yet? Well, you guys are 15.
16.
16?
Yeah.
16. Okay, yeah. I wasn't in a relationship at 16.
Yeah, you have girlfriends, don't you? But it's not. it's not serious, I think, at the age of 16. I feel like it's more of you're doing it because everyone else is doing it. You get a girlfriend because, oh yeah, she's attractive, but it isn't serious, it isn't committed. The chances of that lasting longer than you expect it to is so low.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, it happens, but the chances of you meeting someone that you're going to spend the rest of your life with at the age of 16 is very, very slim.
What do you feel like as a guy in that space, like connecting with a girl, how do you feel like the pressures of what it means to be a guy and with your mates, like how does that interact in that relationship? Because like I remember for me personally at that time, I wasn't able to fully open up about like how I was really feeling, because you just play that game in it.
You're told you're a man, you keep
your feelings. Yeah, keep your feelings to yourself. And then you're also like, I guess you're just like, oh, she's just a girl. She's just a girl. They're going to come and go. And you don't like, as a person, as another human being, there's actually an opportunity if you have an attraction or feeling or something with someone, there's an opportunity for you to like build something more than that, an understanding with yourself, you know?
Yeah. I don't think that at my age I've got enough maturity to do that. I think I'm still a kid. You can put an age on when you grow up, but I don't think anyone ever grows up. So I don't think I'm at that level of maturity, and I haven't been to fully open up to somebody and build that connection, that level further. I don't think I can.
I feel like you're so mature just from how you speak about it. How you speak about how you're so self-aware that you're like, you know, I'm not ready yet. Because a lot of people are never truly open up, you know? So even being aware of it is like...
It's better to get it out there than to keep it in.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays, thankfully, we are told that more. It is brought more in the media. So I think that, it is better to talk about it.
Yeah.
Get things off your chest.
Yeah, and Kylie, what do you feel like your perspective with guys, like interacting with guys, how do you feel like they've been in school and stuff like?
Like, most girls detach shit about the other boys.
Yeah, yeah.
To the girls, but the boys don't know.
Yeah.
Everyone talks to each other about things. There's always going to be Chinese rumors and gossip. That's a part of growing up, isn't it?
That's why school's one of the toughest places, because everyone chats about everyone. And that's why I got high for it, because I was like, I can't hear you.
Escape that.
It was like, what's the
atmosphere?
That atmosphere of like walking into a school like assembly and just looking at faces and the tension, and you're just
sat there.
It's
very robotic, I think.
Yeah.
I think schools are very robotic. They tell you to do this a certain way or do this a certain way. I don't think it should be like that.
Mm.
It should be more free. You should be allowed to do what you want. I mean, I go to a school that's quite strict. I can't get my hair cut, which I think is a stupid rule. I mean, I know it's such a minor thing, but I can't go to that school and get my hair cut without being punished. Why can I not do that?
Yeah.
I get it. If I come to school tomorrow with a bright blue Mohican, I get how that can be distracting and I get how that can cause a problem. But what's the point in seeing like a little bit of skin on the side of my head? I don't get why that's an issue.
Yeah.
I don't know if that applies to every school, and I don't think it does, but it applies to my school, and that's something that bothers me.
Yeah. It's traditions of like, you know, people think they can get best out of people if they just tell them how to be and this is the way to do it. But I feel like there's a trick missed there, because
not everyone works that way.
Yeah. And also, we're now aware that people can talk amongst themselves and be like, hang on a minute, why am I listening to this person when all of us are thinking this? You know?
It's very, what's the word for it? It's the opposite of democratic. What would you call it? Like a one-person society, one person rules over this, one person makes these rules.
It's like autocratic.
Dictatorship. School is very dictating, and it should be a lot more diplomatic. People should be able to express themselves a lot more in schools, which I don't think they can do.
It's true. How do you feel like school interacted with you?
Apart from my key work at East Sound, but teachers just tell you to get on with your work and you don't understand it, and you put your hand up, they just go like this, just shush and sit and do your work. Does your head in.
Yeah. Because you're like, well, hang on a minute, what's this work for?
Numbers on a paper.
Innit? Like English, sit there, get told to write a story, don't even get a picture.
Yeah.
So I just do and stay.
That's
and
it.
And then get told off.
And being told off already just brings your like level of confidence down. The whole purpose of what school should do is actually just build confidence in you to believe in yourselves, to do whatever you love.
Yeah.
And also to learn about yourselves and be good, kind beings in the world around you. And you can only be kind to people around you
if you're being, you're if getting you're being, that,
if
that,
you're,
that,
yeah, exactly. Yourself,
people are being kind to you.
People will point fingers, but how many fingers are pointing back at them? Three. You know what I mean?
It's actually a good one, you know.
Yeah.
But nah, I understand. It's like a lot of people will say this just out of pure spite, but school and prison are very alike.
Yeah.
Which that isn't a good thing, and that should change for both prison and school.
Mm.
It's like, why are we being told off if that's just going to only make us want to do it more?
Mm.
Like, it could also be seen as an attention thing. It's like, you get given the attention when you're being bad. Because you're getting told off, you're getting that attention. Whereas the attention should be given in a more positive way rather than being told off. Because that ain't going to help anybody.
Because you're just going to close up, innit? If you close up, then the stuff that goes on in your lives at home, and the stuff that you feel, and the things that you've been told, if you can't talk about that and can't get it out, then you go into society with this wall up, and then you act out in certain ways. And it's, yeah, like you said, in school, prison. I went to a prison, did a talk there with lads like us. So we just shared. So I did that with Danny, Mike. We share experience around sexual abuse, addiction, exploitation. And when we were doing our talk there, I did some poetry as well and shared some of that. And then, like, at the end of our talk, there was inmates there, there was governors, there was the guards, all in one space. And the whole idea was to just bring everyone together and understand, because, like, the new governor that had been in there is basically, his whole idea was to get to know the inmates and chat to them on a level. He went and had a cup of tea with every single inmate and just spoke to them. You know what I mean? So they did that. And then at the end of our talk, after we shared our lived experience, and basically the place just like erupted, and like the inmates at the back that were like just sort of watching from afar, I thought in the corner of my eye, I was like, what do they keep talking about? And then at the end, they just got up and like started like screaming and clapping. One of them came to the front and just like opened up about his own experience of sexual abuse. And he said he'd never opened up about it. And he was in for 27 years because he committed murder. He's 19. So he made a silly mistake and he murdered this 34-year-old man in a split moment. But before that, he'd never opened up about his sexual abuse that he survived during his childhood. And he came up to us at the end and just spoke about it with us. He was like, it's so weird that you've come in here. Last week, he was like, I opened up to like learning about God. And this moment in time, a week after that, and you guys coming in here, it's like giving me faith because it's like, this is another sign that I'm like doing something well, I'm on the right path. Beautiful, because you could see that he's gonna be in there for 27 years. So he needs to like actually learn to like, I guess, love those parts of him. Yeah. Mm. So he's in there for a long time and he was basically like, oh, I'm gonna be on this path now where I feel like I'm just gonna work towards being the best person I can be and come out into society and live the rest of my life in a certain way that's beneficial for him. And that's cool.
Mm. And like you said, it's breaking down the hierarchy. It's putting everyone together on the same level. Because at the end of the day, we are all humans. Mm. We're all the same being in a way. Mm-hmm. So instead of trying to segregate us, it's better to bring people together and share these things. Because at the end of the day, it's only going to get worse if it doesn't get out.
Mm-hmm. So true. We're all just spinning on a rock. People pretend that they know what's going on, but they don't. No one knows what's going on. And it's like we distract ourselves with as many things that we can do. But really, the things that bring us together that makes us human is the fact that we can care for one another and we can look out for one another and we can love each other, really. Like, that's the biggest thing that makes us like special to like a lot of other animals or whatever. It's the fact that we can actually just be united and there's so much strength in us. But it starts with community, right?
Yeah.
It starts with people like this thing that's going on, like us having a chat. It starts with things like this, just actually just talking to one another on a level.
Yeah.
And a lot of life, we don't do that. You know, we avoid it. So this is a cool space to just have chats and just talk about important stuff.
Yeah, get things off our chests.
Exactly. What do you feel like when you see like the news and the world? Like, how does that interact with your sort of being?
I know that the chance of me having an impact on that and changing that is very slim. It's a very, very large topic. Lots of branches.
And how much time do we have?
Well, no, it's a very, very broad subject and we don't know all the ins and outs.
We aren't
let into that. Someone will, but we don't. We don't know the ins and outs and what's happening and why it's happening and what's causing that to happen. That's, at the end of the day, that's not our responsibility.
Mm.
But we do have a voice and we should use that to make some sort of impact, even if it's small.
And that's, do you feel like you take strength from music and like encouragement when you hear music?
Yeah. I don't know how you would explain it. Music's a weird thing.
Mm.
It's a weird thing. It's a good thing, but it's a weird thing. There's nothing like music.
Yeah.
Music can change your mood and your attitude within seconds, depending on what you're listening to, which is a good thing about music. But it is a weird thing.
That's it. That's why I make music, because it can change your moods.
There you go.
You know what I mean? Should we do some music? Should we make some? Should we put a beat on and freestyle?
You make music, I'm sure you've got a beat.
I've got a beat. Yeah. I'll put you on a beat, man. It depends what sort of beat you like.
Because if I remember correctly, Connor, we made a little agreement last time I saw each other that you were gonna make some music on the podcast.
Oh, I haven't written something down yet.
Well, you don't have to write it.
How about I'll start, and if you feel inclined to jump in, then you can.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah? I'm looking at beats. I'm looking at instrumentals. How about I'll play it and then you can just... A lot of my instrumentals that I've got are just like very chilled.
Chilled and relaxed.
Relaxed, yeah, because that's the space that I like.
To it.
Yeah. What do you like? Because I that wasn't the same when I was listening to music when I was like...
You want some of this?
Harder, yeah. Will we ever cold leather touch? Remind me of my errors as much. Turn my attention to all these errands. It's like tick, tick, tick. Seven more obsessions, inevitable. And will I ever reach my true pinnacle? No, it's much more complex. Have I become too sensible? Chaos and calm like funny boy charm. Middle ground mess, sliding on sludge. It's not so bad when you're falling on your ass and you're all linking arms at the arms. Never come to terms with why you are who you are. You just move to the part where it's laughs and pass in the parcel. Don't start, young buck. I've lived double your time. Yeah, that don't count for shit. It's your problem, not mine. You ain't facing music until you risk losing it. October's full to the brim. Overflowing dimbo, beating macro out the tin. Dropped a shoulder and gravy, chipped a molar. My sins are catching up on me. I better get a hold of this shit, make it right. Jumped off the pedestal, springing my stride light, weaving through the ridicules. Wake up rituals, cold shower freezing all them heads that still think they're really cool. And you could never see my dreams, that's the thing. My arms are open through the looms and the swings. Roundabout now is when I make a mood of feeling. Troubles finding the difference between awake and asleep. Yeah, but I carry on winging it. Relinquish weights that keep on clipping them. Before another tooth needs filling in, I'm feeling like the truth needs spilling. But this time is never Philistine. Bitten my tongue, written my wrongs. These gobshites don't realize that we're not free till the river meets the sea, beams black, red and green. Nah, we're not free till we sip every drip from the tears of our sister's eyes. We watch our inner child crying under wings in the swallows of our brother's pride. We hear our father's lie as we lie still. And we're not free till we put an end to genocide. Congo, Sudan, viva viva Palestine. I feel defeated till I see our spirit leading us. This feeling seasonal, my feelings and it's leaping over reasons that they scheme on us. The repercussions always keeping us from reaching. But will we ever lead with love? Or will we just keep fleeing from this being that's revealing us? A beating drum keeps beating on. It keeps keeps beating on. It keeps keeps beating on. It keeps My love for you was always bigger than this dream we're in. I love my kindreds, we've been doing it, not believing in everything we've done this far, talking centuries past. All these memories we can't even grasp. This part is knowing who you are. Not a name, not a title, a recital of the stars. A revival in your hearts. Cause no matter how many scars, there's no stifling the art. And will we ever find light in the dark? And will we ever find light in the dark? And will we ever find light in this dark? Come on. Will we ever find light in this dark? And will we ever...
Come on, guys.
I'm trying to think.
I might give you a word.
Nothing's coming onto my head.
You got it, you got it. Don't think about it too much, man. Just whatever comes to your head, let it be. This is the Champions Podcast. The purple pen flows off the page. Connor's on the main stage, thinking about what to write. Like he's late to class, is he all right? Tapping away. Is he thinking, dwelling on the day? What does he say? What does he say? As the first word welcomes to us in here, clear as crystal. Do you feel the fear? Nah. Just let it simmer, let it ruminate, let it feel clearer. Tears turn to strength, tears turn to strength. And yesterday when I was at this talk, this man said, what do you measure frequencies with? And he said, hertz. So when it's hertz, it means you got frequencies abundantly. So the more it hurts, the better you fly. You're like catapults. So if you pull it back and it can fly, just wait for it to take you for the ride. And don't think about it too much. Welcome to Champions Podcast. So we're in the writing process. We're going into the wonderful workings of Connor's brain. It's just flowing through him. Take your time, just go. Say every word.
Welcome to young youth. People think young youth are bad nowadays, but who cares what we think?
Yeah, man. Yeah. That's it. All right, cool. So you got the intro there, and should we do an outro? And then we can wrap up. I think that's everything.
Thanks for coming, Jamie.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I've enjoyed chatting with yous, and you've got lots to look forward to. So I can't wait to see this all out. And yeah, you aren't bad. You're the ones clocked on.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. This has been episode 4. See you in the next one.